welcome to Air Magique. I'm your host, Eric, and I'll be visiting Efteling Park next week. And with me is my amazing co-host, Niels.
Hello, everyone. And I'm the one who booked a Walt Disney World trip for next year. And today, we're talking all about surviving Disneyland Paris on capacity days, aka making the most out of a sold-out park day.
That's really important information to have, especially on those full days.
Absolutely.
But before we get to all that, some news. Niels, what has caught your eye at Disneyland Paris over the past month?
Yeah, so my news is the announcement we got from the Inside Ears team at Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
That major works have begun at the entrance to Walt Disney Studios Park. So you can already see the partner statue with Walt and Mickey being removed at this moment.
Au revoir.
At the same day, I also received this little FAQ from them, and I picked out a few things to better understand what these works are about. So, when are the works starting and how long will they last? So they answer that with the works at the park will start in October. Yes, we knew. As when this came out, the works already started. But the works will include pavement work behind the fences in several areas of the park across several phases from October 2023 to late 2025. So that's a long time.
Oh, yeah.
As well as a full closure of Studio One, including all of its services from the end of April 2024 until spring of 25.
I wonder where they're going to route people along, maybe just beside the studio.
Yeah.
For one of those events, we actually exited the park through that backstage area.
Exactly. It's the, well, let's say the corridor in between Studio One and the Pixar Show building.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they usually use on busy days, even after the Avengers Power the Night show sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Cast members have a little private water feature there, which is really fun to see. Yeah, it's something you don't get to check out as a day visitor.
Exactly. I think that will be the way in and out, or maybe they even have another way on the other side of Studio One, maybe in the far end.
Yeah.
But I'm not completely sure about that, but yeah. We will have to miss Studio One for at least a year.
I'm really going to miss that.
So next question in this FAQ was, why are you doing the works? Well, and of course, they are part of the transformation program that is currently in progress at the Walt Disney Studios Park that aims at continuously improving the guest experience and preparing for the future of this park. So especially that last thing, I guess, all the new lands, the new lake, and also changing the theme a bit of Studio One. That's not an official announcement yet, but there are a lot of rumors that they especially will take out the whole
behind the scenes aesthetic, stuff like that.
On the restaurant side. So that part will probably become more like a movie premiere theme, like a party with enhanced capacity. And the other side where we have the big store that will probably remain the same.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's not official information yet, but I'm actually a little bit surprised as I would invest the time and money in new things in the park.
Yeah.
As Studio One, in my opinion, is pretty okay.
I think so too. I really enjoyed Studio One. I love that 1920s golden era Hollywood aesthetic. I think it's super gorge.
Yeah.
I would love to see more diverse food options behind those various facades. I think that would be really cool. They could keep it all like open concept, have all the tables and chairs mixed, but maybe just add more food counters in there that serve different options. That'd be really nice.
That would be nice to have something like a food court.
Yeah, all you'd really need to do was maybe decorate the other side of the facades as well so that it's not that behind the scenes vibe that it has going on currently. But other than that, I really like them as well.
But that wouldn't be a year. Yeah, that would be a good idea as well. Yeah. One of the other questions that they tackle in the FAQ is, will I be able to enjoy attractions and shows during the works? And the answer is yes. The works will mainly impact circulation in and around Studio One, but attractions won't be impacted. Except for flying carpets over Agrabah.
Okay, not the biggest loss ever.
No. But on the other hand, there's not that much for the little ones. So
that's true. Yeah,
it's another one down. But I'm wondering if they will use this whole situation to retheme the carpets to something Pixar or to take it out and maybe bring it over to Adventureland, which was originally the plan for this ride.
Adventureland, yeah. So kind of like in the States.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, there you have
the Magic Kingdom.
It's also in Adventureland next to the Tiki Room and the Dole Whip point of sale.
Yeah. It's difficult because Walt Disney Studios Park already has such few attractions.
Yeah, they need it.
Like, we need more. They need that spinning flying carpets ride.
Yeah. So next question is, what will actually be closed? Works will mainly impact some circulation in the production courtyard, Toon Studio areas, and Studio One, allowing you to continue to enjoy the best experiences in Walt Disney Studios Park during the full period. Yeah, that's a nice sentence. Yeah, and then they also say starting end of April 2024, Studio One will close, which involves that all its services will be unavailable, including Anculis and Epcot Corner restaurants, as well as the boutique Legend d'Hollywood and Hollywood Jewel Box. That's the little Pandora shop in the corner.
Yeah.
Full closure. And in the FAQ, which is quite a long one, they also have answers like, where do I shop? Where do I eat? But basically, they refer to the food carts
right.
and the restaurants in the park, the other shops in the park, and especially to Disney Village. So
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we get one or two temporary food cart pop-ups as well, just to get some more capacity in there.
They talk about food carts, but it's not completely clear if that's the existing ones.
Or additional ones.
Or extra ones. Or maybe they have that little food festival.
Yeah, near Astoremi.
There year-round, instead of placing it, breaking it down, and a month later, bringing it back.
Food at Disneyland Paris, always a thing, but especially during construction.
Yeah, as now they have like a summer festival and a winter festival, which is not completely same offer, but it's similar. And it feels a little bit strange that... Yeah, you take out all those cards and bring them back within 1 month. So this has something to do with a permit.
So that they get approval for the huts.
Yeah, for temporary cards and not for something that is fixed.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. That's so bureaucratic. I love it.
Yes, typically French.
Wow. Well, the Livre Gourmand, I've tried several things from there and some of the items are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's always just the portions are so small.
And they're all around €5.
Yeah.
So in the end, you have to buy like 4 things.
Yeah.
And then you're like 20, €22.
Might as well go to a real quick service or a real restaurant and then you'll at least be satisfied.
Exactly. Yeah. They also say these works are part of the Walt Disney Studios Park's transformation and will result in an improved entry sequence for our guests to enjoy. We can't wait to share more details about the future and we'll share more news soon. And I know that there's a winter press weekend at Disneyland Paris on November 18 and 19. So we probably will know more by then.
Interesting,
but not completely sure, as they will mainly talk about the new entertainment offerings for January to, somewhere in spring. All the Symphony of Color shows, the drone show, the hub show, and the Alice in Wonderland stunt show.
The Alice in Wonderland stunt show is such a wild concept. I can't wait to learn more about it.
That's the one I'm looking forward to because it sounds crazy.
I really hope it is like crazy, but like in a fun, good, entertaining way crazy. and not just like what are they doing crazy.
With the Mad Hatter, it could become really crazy, but let's see. So, Eric, what got your eyes this month?
Yeah, so we also received more information about the next Disneyland Pass event on November 30th.
Mm-hmm.
The theme will be Christmas, course. As for the exclusive entertainment, there will be 5 exclusive shows, including Enchanted Christmas Opening Ceremony. This is basically how the festivities will begin, with music under a snowy sky.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll have Beauty and the Beast, Tale as Old as Time, which is described as letting folks relive the most famous scenes from the magical tale. So it's probably going to be like a little best of compilation show.
Yeah, a couple of songs, something like this.
Yeah, as well as Mickey's Dazzling Christmas Parade on stage. I've never heard of them transforming a parade to a stage show, but it's one of the best parades Disneyland Paris has ever done, in my opinion. I really enjoy it. Do you think they'll bring on any of the floats or maybe miniature versions of the floats?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Or maybe they use one of the floats to bring characters and dancers to the stage and they don't tell us which stage, right? Is it the stage right next to the castle, the Royal Castle stage?
It just says stage,
Or is it just the 4 show stages in front of the castle?
Well, that would be the easiest version, right?
Yeah, because they already use those for the show stop with the Christmas parade. So then maybe they just extend the show stop.
Yeah, an extended show stop. That's what I was thinking too.
With some more projections and
it's weird because the on stage is like in the title. So I feel like the stage is going to be playing like a major role. We'll see. Then there's also Mickey's Winter Wonderland, Magical Memories. This is Mickey and his friends inviting you to join them to enjoy the most magical season of the year.
Could be anything.
Yeah, that's really so not descriptive. As well as the Enchanted Christmas Ball. And I feel like there's always some kind of ball, right?
So every special night to have a ball.
Yeah, so this is on the Central Plaza stage, and it's probably going to be some of the princesses.
Yeah, however, most of the balls were on the Royal Castle stage. So if this one is on Central Plaza, then yeah.
Maybe they'll arrive in some parade floats or something like that.
Maybe. Or the Mickey's Dazzling Christmas Parade on stage is actually on the Royal Castle stage, so they use...
That could also be, right?
The Central Plaza stage is for the ball. Yeah, I'm not sure, but well.
Then there'll also be festive encounters, so you can celebrate Christmas early with more than 50 Disney characters. That's quite a lot, which is really fun. Yeah. And they'll be spread all around Disneyland Park. Disney friends are waiting for you, and some of them made the trip, especially for the parties. So I'm guessing we'll see some rare characters that we usually don't get to see, which is always nice.
I think so too. And 50 is a lot, and it sounds a lot, but usually when they're spread all over the park, and maybe they change in a specific location like every hour, then it's not that much. As I remember from the previous night, the Molly Brown riverboat, when we arrived there, there was just Prince Naveen. But later, Tiana was there and Dr. Facilier was there. And I'm not sure about the name of that crocodile from Princess and the Frog was there.
Is it Louis?
Oh, yeah, that's Louis. Yes, yes. I think most of them were there alone or with just two of them at once. Yeah. And sometimes they were all there. So, yeah, they can play around with that. If you're there and you feel that you haven't seen 50, go back to places where you have been before, as there might be different characters, is what I learned last event. Yeah,
right. It's a good tip. Yeah. Also, tickets are on sale now. So don't forget to bring your plus one.
Yep.
I also wanted to give a shout out to Efteling, who in a bit to ensure the continued enjoyment of its iconic Piranha River Rapids attraction. Mm-hmm. And Efteling, of course, is the renowned Dutch theme park. They've committed a substantial investment of 8 million euros to refurbish the ride.
That's a lot.
So the ambitious project includes extensive maintenance and upgrades. Commencing today, Piranha has been temporarily closed for several months to accommodate these improvements. So yeah, this is going to be a really big thing.
Yeah, and it's usually closed during winters because you get wet. So this is smart moment to do it. Yeah,
yeah, totally. Piranha first welcomed adventurers in 1983. They'll actually be partially demolishing it so that the refurbishment works can begin. Efteling's designer, I might be saying this wrong, Karel Willemen?
Karel Willemen.
There.
Yeah, there you go.
Has sculpted new rockwork that is more harmonious with the surrounding landscape. The new rock formations are designed to closely resemble Central American rocks with intricate detailing and layered features. Scale models based on Willemen's sketches serve as blueprints to ensure accuracy and attention to detail in the construction process. A major highlight of the refurbishment is the introduction of new water effects that promise an exhilarating experience for visitors. New water effects will ensure that the water will soon come to the visitors from all sides. Oh my gosh. So basically, you'll get soaked.
Yeah.
These effects include the installation of quote-unquote water gods that spew fog and water curtains, ensuring an immersive and unpredictable journey for future adventurers. Visitors can also look forward to massive water jets that shoot into the air, an aqueduct, and impressive Inca-inspired visuals. To enhance the overall experience, Efteling has introduced environmental design, adjusting the water effects to match seasonal conditions, ensuring adventurers are not drenched during the colder months. That I love. It's super brilliant because last time we were there in October or November and Piranha was still running, but we were like, oh my gosh, we do not want to get wet with 13 degree weather outside. So this is brilliant because I'd love to experience it in the winter and not get completely soaked, but still get to see all the cool decor.
Yeah, that's smart. Then I can keep it open.
Yeah, totally. Further maintenance includes concrete repairs on the track, exterior facade painting, and the installation of 8 new energy efficient pumps. The technical team will also assess the wave machines, chains, and engines, alongside the replacement of control cabinets and associated infrastructure for seamless operation. Always important, keep that thing running smoothly. Modernizations include the installation of LED lighting, new cameras and speakers, and the unmanned photo point at the exit will be transformed into a compact souvenir shop, which will offer themed souvenirs. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
The grand reopening of the Piranha is anticipated to be towards the end of June 2024. With the possibility of completing the project ahead of schedule. Yeah, that's brilliant. Have you got to experience Piranha attraction before, Niels?
I don't like it.
No, you don't like it?
Oh, no. I don't like it when it got bumpy and when there's an opportunity to get soaked. So I usually skip these kind of rides.
Yeah. Right. Too much water or just a little bit too wild?
A little bit too wild. Yeah, but I also don't want to be wet all day. Yeah. Right. And if it's a hot summer day, then it might be okay. But yeah.
So with these types of attractions, yeah, I don't mind getting wet so much. The only part of my body that really bothers me is the shoes, because they just stay wet for hours on end.
Yeah.
Like everything dries pretty quickly, but those are...
Yeah. So bring two plastic bags.
Yeah, exactly. To just keep the shoes dry.
Yeah.
I wish they sold them at the entrance for like a couple of euros, just zip tie bags, or even that you could rent them or something.
That would help. Yeah. And if you don't want to get wet at all, then probably try to think of bringing your poncho.
Yeah. Also always a good tip. Totally.
Yeah.
So in this month's Patreon exclusive show, we're finishing our in-depth exploration of Space Mountain at Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
That's right. In the grand finale of our deep dive series, we'll share even more obscure fun facts, insider knowledge, and so much more. Get access to this exclusive episode as well as all of our other fabulous Patreon exclusive shows over on patreon.com/airmagique. It all starts at just €2 and you can get double the airmagique every single month. Stick around till the end of this show for a preview of that Patreon exclusive episode.
Yes.
While capacity days are not an everyday occurrence at Disneyland Paris, thank Mickey, they do happen occasionally, even more so after the pandemic. Everyone is trying to make up for lost time in the parks, and Disneyland Paris is more popular than ever. While it's great that the parks are doing well, it can also be challenging to get everything done that you normally would be during your visit. So Niels and I have compiled 10 tips and tricks to make the most out of your day at the resort. So Niels, would you do us the honor of sharing your first tip?
Oh, yes. And these are not in a, well, particular order. So just 10 tips.
Every single one is important.
Yeah, exactly. So my first tip is to focus more on shows and other live entertainment and less on the attractions or character meets. I'm not saying that shows or parades could be not busy, but a lot of entertainment has high capacity. A lot of first-time visitors seem to focus on the rides. So you have to line up early, like 30 to 60 minutes, depending on the day and the type of entertainment. But the wait will be worth it, in my opinion, as it's not a short ride that you're waiting for, like 1 minute or 2 or 3 minutes, but it's a show or a parade that will last for like 10 to even 30 minutes. So that's a big piece of entertainment.
And totally.
In the Disneyland Park, you usually have seasonal entertainment. There's also the daily Stars on parade. There's a daily nighttime show, which is Disney Dreams at this moment. And there's, of course, the Lion King Rhythm of the Pridelands musical stage show, which is really, really good. Only that is already worth your park ticket, in my opinion. If you visit, let's say, the Lion King show and you see the Disney Dreams nighttime spectacular. Then we have the Walt Disney Studios Park. That's even a better place to go for shows. Mickey and the Magician, the Pixar musical Adventure Together. Disney Junior Dream Factory, also nice when you're not a Disney Junior kid yourself. It sounds childish, but it's actually...
It's really cute.
A really nice show to see also as an adult. So yeah, don't miss that one, as it's usually also less crowded. And then there's the Frozen musical invitation show, which has less capacity, but is also nice to see. So yeah, at this moment, the studio also has a nighttime show, the Avengers Powder Night, but it's going away for a short period of time, I understood. It will be back later, and we will get that Alice in Wonderland stunt show coming in the spring of next year. So yeah, there will be a lot of entertainment. Studios also has a lot of entertainment that is, well, a little bit shorter. And you can especially experience that in the Avengers campus. Eh? There's on the streets, on the rooftops, a lot of free roaming characters, but also quite a lot of little shows. Eh? The Guardians of the Galaxy dance-off. There's a little Spider-Man show on one of the rooftops. There's a show with Black Widow, Black Panther, and Spider-Man.
I'm so glad they're still keeping this up, because it really adds so much life to the Avengers campus.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on every day. So yeah, be sure to check the app for the current entertainment offerings and times, as it needs a little bit of planning, all these shows. But I think this would definitely help when all the rides are like 60 to 90 minutes to still have the feeling that you did a couple of really, really nice things on that day.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah.
So my first tip to anyone brave enough to explore the crowded waters of the Disney parks on a full capacity day is to explore some of Disneyland Park's fabulous walkthrough attractions. Not only has the beautiful Nautilus just reopened, see one of our previous episodes for our thoughts on that refurbishment, but there are currently at least 8 walkthrough attractions, which include Isles Curious's Labyrinth, Adventure Isle, Pirate Caves, La Corbanda Robinson, La Tanière du Dragon, which is the Dragon Dungeon, yep. Le Passage Enchanté de Aladdin, Galerie de la Belle au Bon Dormant, which is in the castle, Fort Comstock, and Thunder Mesa itself. There are a plethora to explore in Disneyland Park. Yeah. Depending on who you ask, even more, some folks count the arcades on Main Street USA as walkthrough attractions.
Yeah, well, Disney thinks they're attractions because they number them in the park map and in the app. So
that's true.
Basically, there are little expositions. So you could say that it's some kind of attraction. Yeah.
Yeah, the Liberty Arcade, you do have that cute little diorama. It always looks like some sort of area that you're not supposed to go into, like backstage or something.
Yeah, indeed.
While the line between walkthrough attractions and regular themed environments is somewhat blurred, I would argue that the arcades are more of an environment since they are so integrated into the park's restaurants and shops and even future restrooms.
Right.
On the other hand, just exploring Disneyland Park's fabulous theming and details is a fun way to spend a day in the parks. There's a plethora of spaces to explore, but that's not all though. With the expansion of Walt Disney Studios Park, the little sister of the main Disneyland Park, may finally get its own walkthrough attraction as well. So, vague concept art has hinted at a park-like area featuring statues of some famous Disney characters. So, we'll see what the future holds there.
Yeah, that's the British Gardens or something like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, what's next on your list, Niels?
Next here on my list are the so-called magic shots. These are photos of you taken by Disney PhotoPass photographers. You have to stand in a certain place, look in a specific direction, or make specific gestures. And then they add a digital character to your picture afterwards. So it will look like you are interacting with a character. And I think, well, these magic shots are pretty funny souvenirs. So they usually have a very, very short wait time, even on the busier days. So be sure to check the app where you can select magic shots to be indicated on the park map instead of rides, for instance. But also keep your eyes open when you're in the parks, as my personal experience is that they are definitely not always all listed in the app. So there might be some surprise magic shots. And to get these pictures, these magic shots, you can purchase them from the PhotoPass counters with some of the rides or at some of the hotel shops, at the PhotoPass setting points in some of the stores like the one in Main Street, directly on the right when you enter the park.
Yeah.
You can also purchase the PhotoPass Plus, which is a pass for your full stay, so you don't purchase a specific photo or a set of photos for your full stay. I think up to 10 days you can have all ride photos and PhotoPass photographer photos for free. It's not the right word. You're paying like 60, 70, 80 euro or something like that for this PhotoPass Plus, but then you can at least collect them all. And there's also a discounted PhotoPass Plus, which is connected to certain types of Disneyland passes or the old annual passes. So yeah, it's not something that's for free, but it's fun and it's something that you can easily do also on the busier days.
Considering that a single ride photo already costs like 30 euro, it might be worth, you know, especially if you're going in a group of 3 or 4 people, just to buy one photo pass for your group.
Yeah, split the price.
And then you can get all the ride photos. You can get all the photo pass photographer locations with your group. So it just makes sense to share that in that case. And then you can print them out at home for much less. So it can end up really working in your favor.
Yeah, because you can access these photos in their website. So you make an account, you connect your photo pass number to it, and then you can download them all. So you will have the digital files. You won't get any physical photos.
Totally. So my next tip is a no-brainer for anyone who has little time and a bigger budget, and that's Premier Access. As most of you will likely know, Premier Access allows you to skip the lines of most attractions in exchange for a fee. You can either book the attractions you would like to skip a la carte via the Disneyland Paris app or purchase Premier Access Ultimate, which allows you to skip the line once for every attraction included in the program. Mm-hmm. Premier Access is not for everybody, though. The costs do add up quickly, especially for larger families. On a busy day, Premier Access Ultimate currently comes in at 190 euro per person, and individual rides can be priced as high as 18 euro per person. Mm-hmm. So let's say you want to ride Big Thunder Mountain a la carte. with a family of four, that would cost €72 for a single ride. So that's quite a bit. That's basically your day ticket.
Yeah.
It's really only worth considering if you don't visit the parks very often or the budget is, you know, at your disposal, which is always fun. A la carte premier access time slots do sell out on busy days, so be sure to book them early. Same goes for the Ultimate Pass, which can sell out entirely. And this is especially true for Crush's Coaster in Walt Disney Studios Park, which is really the only attraction that I've noticed will sell out even on a regular day. So
It's nice that you mentioned the Ultimate Pass because, it's much cheaper than the a la carte ones if you want to do them all.
Right.
I believe with the Ultimate one, you can do them all except for Orbitron. And I'm not sure why.
Wow, that's so weird.
Yeah, that's really weird. And you can also just do them once. So each ride one time in one day.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not like I can do Big Thunder 10 times. And
no.
So if there are a couple of rides that you don't want to do with Premier Access, then it's maybe not worth buying the Ultimate Pass.
Yeah, I think the Ultimate Pass is really targeting a demographic that's doing this kind of once in a lifetime or once every 10 years type trip to Disneyland Paris. Yeah. And they just really want to do everything on one day.
Yeah, if you go multiple days, then you don't need this. No. But if you are there just one day, indeed, you're not coming back anytime soon, and you want to do Crush, and you want to do Space Mountain, and you want to do Big Thunder Mountain, then you might go for it.
good point. So what's next news?
Yeah, well, Hidden Mickey and detail hunting. Ooh. So search for Hidden Mickeys and for other cool details while exploring the parks and its ambience. You might want to do some online research or listen to older Magic Secrets episodes.
Oh, yeah, you might definitely want to do that.
because this is quite difficult. But if you have an idea where to look for or what to look for, then it's really fun. Hidden Mickeys are the Mickey-shaped design elements or objects hidden in the parks by the Imagineers. So you can find them basically everywhere in the rides, streets, restaurants, on walls, in sets, on carpets, and so on. Yeah, it's really fun if you can find them. With other cool details, I mean things like the names on the upper windows of Main Street USA. They all have a meaning. They're not just there for fun. One of the first buildings on Town Square, on the right side, there's a dentist school. And on the window, you can see the names of the five people that are probably doing their dentist school thing there. But these five names are the, main Imagineers, the main creative people that created Disneyland Paris. So these are really important people. So this is really like the opening credits or the end credits of a film. And it's fun to have a look at all these names and see if you can discover who these people are. We also have, for example, the mythical Rock's Egg on the top of the Adventureland Bazaar Towers. We have multiple episodes about these secrets, but it's really fun details that are easy to see, but you will still miss them if you're probably
Know they're there.
So there's so much more to see and discover everywhere. You don't need to do rides or shows. Walking around and looking for all these details will also give you a really fun day, in my opinion.
So next up is the more budget friendly option to Premier Access, which is single rider.
That's much more budget friendly.
Regrettably, single rider is only available at 8 Disneyland Paris attractions, two of which are in Disneyland Park. So those are Star Wars Hyperspace Mountain and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Peril. In an unusual twist, Walt Disney Studios Park has more to offer on the subject than the flagship park. In the studios, you can ride Crush's Coaster, Toy Soldiers Parachute Drop, RC Racer, Ratatouille, Avengers Assemble Flight Force, and Spider-Man Web Adventure. By yourself, of course, which usually saves a bunch of time. I would like to say that we appreciate that the two newest Disneyland Paris attractions, Flight Force and Web Adventure, also include single rider. However, I would love to see more single rider attractions in Disneyland Park.
Right.
There is no monetary incentive for Disney to add any. However, it would improve the overall park going experience, especially for those who don't mind riding separately. Yeah, with Crush's Coaster, single rider is also kind of a 50-50 if you're going to actually be saving a lot of time, because both of those queues just end up being so full, and the regular queue does move a lot quicker than single rider does on a usual day.
I think I usually see wait times that are quite similar indeed.
Yeah.
It also goes for RC Racer.
Oh yeah. On some days, single rider might also not be open. That's another thing to keep in mind. But if they are, it's definitely worth keeping a lookout for.
Yeah. Well, my next tip is to visit the official Disney hotels. So most of the hotels are on a walking distance from the theme parks, except for the Davy Crockett Ranch, the cabin park. But besides the nice walk to the hotels, it's also really nice to discover the unique theme of each hotel. So you can meet characters in most hotels. Some have them in the morning, others in the evening. So that's something that is not listed in the app, but you can ask at the front desk when the characters are there. Only the Davy Crockett Ranch currently doesn't have any characters, so that's a good thing to know. But the nice thing is that lines are usually shorter and the characters mostly wear hotel theme specific outfits.
That's really fun.
Yeah, if you're into character hunting, then definitely visit the hotels as well. Hotel New York features the Superhero Station. That's a photo experience with a character meet and a lot of photo walls. This one is only available for guests staying at that specific hotel, but it's a really fun activity. The Disneyland Hotel is closed at this moment for renovation and the whole re-theme, but I can imagine that a possible character meet or photo experience will be restricted to its guests as well. But it's nice to check out if you're staying at one of the Disney hotels to see if they have something exclusive that is just for you as a guest. All hotels also have a restaurant, a bar, a shop, and when staying at the Disney hotel with a pool, you can go for a quiet swim on the day when the attractions are really busy. And you might want to go back to the park in the evening when it's a bit, less crowded over there, as a lot of families leave after the parade, or during the summer, the parks are open till quite late. It's definitely saving you a lot of time if you do something different on the day and go back to the park in the evening. If you are into art and or Marvel heroes, then definitely consider exploring Disney's Hotel New York, the Art of Marvel, as it's literally an art gallery. And if you are staying at the Marvel Hotel, there's also a superhero outdoor basketball and sports area as well. So also really fun. Davy Crockett Ranch also has some sport activities. There's a tennis court. You can play badminton, table tennis. As a guest, you can do that all for free. So you can just rent or get the rackets and the shuttles or the balls at the swimming pool front desk.
And that's really fun.
Davy Crockett even has a mini golf, which is really simple. Too simple, in my opinion. There's a playground, a small game hall, and the forest surroundings are also really nice to have a walk. So you can definitely do a lot of nice things in and around the Disney hotels or the cabin park if the parks are really too busy. Or maybe when the weather is bad, it's also nice to explore the hotels.
Yeah, you'd expect the Disney mini golf course to have some really nice theming, right? So it's kind of odd that it's such a simple design.
Especially when you have been to Walt Disney World, where you have a couple mini golf courses and you have to pay for that quite a lot. But they're so nicely themed. So yeah, that's a completely different game.
So next up is the good old mobile food ordering, aka click and collect via the Disneyland Paris app. Also a great place to check for live waits, by the way. Even on capacity days, you may spot a short wait for Phantom Manor, Pirates of the Caribbean, and even Star Tours, especially later in the day. So there are currently 6 quick service locations that offer click and collect, which include Cafe Hyperion, Casa de Coco, Casey's Corner, Last Chance Cafe, which is also the most affordable quick service location at Disneyland Paris, and Restaurant Hakuna Matata. And over in Walt Disney Studios Park, it's just Restaurant en Coulisse, which, the food is nothing special over there, but you are in Studios Park. While you order and pay for your food via the app, you still have to wait, stand in line, and show your confirmed order to the hostess at the front, who will then collect all the individual components of your order. I wish this was a little bit more seamless. If the click and collect line is as long as the regular line, I'd say go for the regular line, which tends to move just a little bit faster, likely due to the cast member having to not mess around with parkour's phones, which tend to, block the screen, and then they don't open the right website, and then the internet's not working. So that could be a little bit more complex than just looking at the menu they have there.
Right.
But in my experience, this has been a much quicker and easier way to order your food, which is worth it.
Yeah, you cannot always get your food right away. So you select the time slot that is available, and maybe that time slot is in, let's say, 30 or 40 minutes.
True.
Yeah. But at least you don't have to stand in line all that time. You can maybe do something different and come back back in 30 or 40 minutes and then, well.
Good point.
Yeah, you have to wait for a little while, but it's like 5 minutes and not 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes, yeah, depending on how long the lines are. It can definitely save some time. We also used it quite some time now, and yeah, it's working. And I agree with you that they could improve the process a little bit. Like,
you have to enter all your information every single time, your address, your name, your credit card.
Yeah.
I wish it would just save that.
I think if you have a Disney account and you're logged in while you're making the order, then next time it will remember your address.
Oh, it's not been doing so on our end. I don't know if it has something to do with our German Disney account, if that may be an issue, but...
Well, last time that I used it, I was quite surprised that all the details were already there. Okay. But I also heard from other people that you don't have to fill out all those fields, so you don't have to fill in your address to get an invoice for just your hamburger. So you can basically skip a lot of things in there. I'm also surprised that in the end you can check the box that you have an annual pass, so you get your reduction, but you have to show your pass again.
Yeah.
To the cast member to check if you really
have one.
Have one. They could also connect that. If you already have the annual pass, scan it or type in your number.
Exactly.
And then make the numbers a little bit shorter maybe. But then they can just scan your pass and see your order. Something like that would be easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or use the magic passes if people already have that from their hotel. Then
good point.
Stuff to improve. Yeah, my last one is a short one. Well, spend some time during the peak times in the parks in Disney Village. There are various shops with Disney merch, art, fashion, and there's even a Lego shop. But there are also bars, including the sports bar, and usually less crowded restaurants, varying from Five Guys, McDonald's, Earl of Sandwich, Fappiano. There are table service options like the Steakhouse and Annette's Diner with the fresh burgers, Rainforest Cafe with its great theming. Yeah, so there are a lot of possibilities to sit back, relax, and do some shopping, have a meal. Yeah, and maybe if you're a little bit more adventurous and there's not too much rain or wind, then you can also go to the Panoramagique air balloon and you can have a nice view over the whole resort and the surroundings. There's a cinema with a couple of English shows as well. There's a Starbucks. There are little go-karts. They are behind Rainforest Cafe, so in the McDonald's area.
Those are still there.
Yeah. That's a paid activity, of course. And there's also a little game hall. Yeah, it's not really spectacular. And the whole Disney Village, it's not huge. And it's currently also a bit of a mess with all the closings and refurbishments.
I think this is a really good tip, even more so than when it reopens after the refurbishment in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, then it will look nicer, more atmospheric maybe. And the offering will be better again, but still nice place to spend some time.
Yeah.
And instead of waiting for an hour in, let's say, restaurant en coulisses in Walt Disney Studios Park, you can also walk over to Disney Village. It's not that far.
Yeah.
Especially not from the studios park entrance, and you can have a better meal. And the time that you were walking to Disney Village, that will be easily compensated.
That's true.
So, yeah, this might be a nice option.
Also, a lot of the Disney Village stuff opens up around noon.
That's right.
A good noon, afternoon activity.
Officially, Disney Village is opening every morning at 8 o'clock, but that doesn't mean that the restaurants are all open indeed, but the shops will be open from 8 in the morning.
So my last tip is also a shorty, and that is to either arrive early or stay late.
Yeah.
Most folks want to sleep in during their vacation, so arriving at the parks for the rope drop for extra magic hours will guarantee you a great place in line. The parks usually start to empty out a bit later in the day. Smaller kids will get tired, and many parents end up taking them home. Or if there are a lot of annual pass holders in the park on that day, they'll usually not want to stay until the very, very end
all
the time.
They're more relaxed.
Especially if there's no nighttime spectacular to keep folks in the parks, which is a regular occurrence over in Walt Disney Studios Park.
True.
Yeah, that's just something to keep in mind if you want to get in a couple extra rides at the end or at the beginning of the day.
If you don't want to see that nighttime spectacular, or you can live with, seeing it from a distance, then a lot of people are already lining up at least an hour before the show starts.
True,
that also means that the ride wait times drop significantly. So that's a nice moment to do some rides and maybe still see something from the nighttime show, but asset from a distance.
Yeah, totally. Brilliant, Niels. Where can people find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram. I'm Niels Capturing Parks, and I post daily pictures from the parks, and all my other activities are listed on capturingdisneyparks.com.
Awesome. If you just found us, be sure to subscribe to Airmagique on your favorite podcasting platform to never miss a future episode. Follow Airmagique on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and check out our website, airmagique.net, for all the latest Disneyland Paris news and European theme park news. Please consider supporting the show on patreon.com/airmagique. You get access to a completely new exclusive episode every single month, and it really helps out a lot and keeps the show running.
Yes.
Before we go, we did want to thank some of our patrons, and you can also get in a shout out at the Sequoia tier. So thank you so much to Simon, JB, Gray, Andy, Jordan, and Jerry. Stay safe and have a wonderful day.
Bye bye.
I saw a tweet from DLP report that a lot of the lighting is no longer working, which is such a pity. So the attraction was basically sitting mostly in the dark. One of the neon rings isn't working anymore, and a lot of the golden lighting that lights up the facade was off. So it really, really needs some love. So Disneyland Paris, this is your opportunity.
But maybe they're already transforming into the next mission, into the dark hole.
It's just going to be a blacked out ride, no stars, yeah, no nothing.
The black hole, that's the ride. Yeah.
It's definitely budget friendly. That was just a short preview of the full-length Patreon exclusive show. You can get instant access to this episode, as well as Disneyland Paris Hacks 2.0, Disneyland Paris on a Budget, and the Discoveryland Deep Dive, along with all of our other fabulous Patreon exclusive episodes now on patreon.com/airmagique. See you there!